What is up, my kings and queens and all in between? My name is Andrew Velasquez, and you're here for season two, you guys, 2024 of Mindful Artists Podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on this experience. I've honestly had such a really good time, and I have a really cool, awesome guest, legend himself, that I'll get into shortly. But I just wanted to remind you to please go on to our reviews, give us those stars, those ratings, because the more you do that, the more likely others like yourselves will have a chance to listen to this in their algorithms. And if you are a creative person that's spiritual and practices mindfulness, email me at mindfulartist@podcast.gmail.com. Maybe you'll be a guest as well. And that song that you just heard, Mi Corazón, written by myself, produced by you guys, the legend himself. He's here, Aaron McLendon. Oh my God. This is the man that I've been talking about literally in every intro. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here. All right, you guys. So who is Aaron McLendon? Aaron McLendon is a producer, drummer, and DJ from Santa Barbara, California. Upon receiving his master's degree from California Institute of Arts, McLendon lived in New York City and Los Angeles, where he amassed an electric performance resume, including Michael Bublé, George Benson, Kamasi Washington, Terrence Howard, George Clinton, Thundercat, Terrace Martin, Taylor Itzy, Christian Scott, Esperanza Spalding, Elder, Angela Moore of Fishbone, Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox, and Grace Kelly's, amongst many others. As a producer, McLendon is currently signed with Peer Music and has worked with such artists as Lauv, Carly Hansen, Casey Abrams, Luna Aura, Jasmine Ash, Day One, Kelson, and Camera Forbes. His collaborations with fellow producer Nick Block has garnered placements with such brands as Apple, Sephora, Facebook, and others. McLendon also creates original content and media for a roster of clients, including Fitness, Heavyweights, Body, formerly Beachbody, and Equinox. Mm-hmm. Most recently, he scored the forthcoming Sean T program, Dig Deeper, and yours truly, My Latino House Track, debut of Mi Corazón. Bravo! Right. That is quite the bio. Wow, I learned a little bit. I mean, I knew that you had such a great portfolio, but I didn't know the extents and the details. Congratulations. How does that feel to hear back like your journey as an artist?
Oh man, that first of all, that's a great intro, man. Thank you so much. And it's such a pleasure to be here and to be chatting with you, my friend. It's been a while. It's, you know, hearing, you know, it's December, and so it's you know, this is being filmed and recorded in December. So it's the end of the year, and you do that reflecting thing at the end of the year where you look back and kind of do the tally of what went right, what didn't, what you enjoyed, what you didn't enjoy, your experiences, et cetera. So kind of in that reflective place, it's really cool to hear like, oh yeah, that, okay, I did that. That's cool. I'm happy that I worked with those artists, had that experience. I mean, it's all a bunch of magic seemingly that it comes together sometimes. So it's important to be grateful for that. And to, you know, I mean, talk about being a mindful artist, just being, you know, expressing that gratitude and saying like to yourself, you know, for all the ups and downs and everything in between that we deal with as artists, I think it's really, you know, important to step back and just say, you know, thank you. I'm really grateful. We're really lucky to be able to do any of this and to live in society and able to express ourselves and be able to continue to do this. So gratitude, that's the main thing I feel.
Yes, you said it perfectly. Well, what about a little bit of the origins, like baby Aaron McLendon? Where did the artist, where was that birth? Where was that light spark? Like, where did you have your aha moment of like, this is the career, this is the path I need to experience?
That's a great question. Well, I come from a musical family. Both my parents are musicians and music educators. You know, my dad was a professional opera singer until he went to the education.
What? I did not know that. That's so cool.
Yeah. He was the choir director at my, what's that?
Father Operatica.
That's right. Yeah. He was the choir director at my high school, and he was he founded the Santa Barbara Master Chorale and was the conductor of that for decades. And is now retired and enjoying his time. And my mom taught elementary school music for 44 years. So Music was always around in my house when I was growing up. We grew up singing. For instance, instead of saying grace at the table, it would be a song. We'd
No
start dinner
way.
with a song.
That's so
Yeah, I'm not
dope.
kidding. And so, we that was a tradition of the house. So music was always there. I started playing piano when I was a little kid and was encouraged to do that, but I didn't feel any type of passion for it whatsoever. I'm thankful that I had it, but when my parents said to me, "Look, well, first of all, I quit piano when I was like a 10 or 11," and then my parents said, "We want you to play an instrument. You can decide what it is, but we will pay for the lessons. We'll get you the instrument, but we really want you to do it." So I was thinking about guitar and drums, and then I saw the high school jazz. I was 13, and I saw the high school jazz band. So these kids, a couple years older than me, and I saw the drummer, and I was like, "Man, this looks like the best job ever. Like this guy looks like he's having so much fun. Looked like an octopus playing all these different patterns at
Also
once."
a
And
workout too, I would imagine.
absolutely, yeah. I mean, some of the. I mean, it's a lot of cardio. It's a lot of strength. So I started playing drum lessons and like really lucked out where when I was growing up, had a really amazing first drum teacher. Shout out to Barry Birmingham. And then
Nice.
after about a year and a half, he passed me off to another incredible drum teacher, guru up in Santa Barbara named Craig Thatcher. So I was with him for about 4 years. And he was part of how it clicked when I decided to actually do this for a living and pursue this as a life goal and as a profession. Because we were, I used to do that thing where I'd like go with him to gigs and roadie for him and set up and
Nice.
just see how it worked,
And how old
So
were
there
you
was
when
a
that was happening?
15, 14,
Okay, cool.
15. So there was one time when I was 15 and we went to this gig. And we were playing. He was playing a private party for the celebrity, it just seemed like a cool experience. And so finally, like we're driving home, and I said, "So like, what do you do for a living?" And he just looks at me and he's like, "What are you talking about? I play gigs like you just saw, and I teach punks like you." And it clicked. I was like, "Wait a second, you could
You
do
can make
this?
money, cha-ching.
So I can play drums, and that's it?" And so. That's where it so it was then and there I decided to do it, and that was just the snowball effect that eventually led to pursuing it full time. Well, first practicing incessantly in high school and then pursuing it full time and going into music school.
Incredible,
Yeah.
incredible. Okay, so yeah, I love that. I mean, you were surrounded with artistry support and
Yeah.
just being able to express yourself and singing at the table instead of saying grace. Like, that's so dope.
Yeah.
And then you had some amazing mentors and some teachers that encouraged you, and I'm sure you vocalized, and you were open to feedback and wanted to learn from your mistakes and your opportunities. What was the hardest part of maybe figuring out like your style and where that, where that led you? Like, 'cause I mean, music is so broad. Like, there's so many different genres, and I love all genres of makeup, but there's some genres that really like hit home and hit the heart. You know what I'm saying? And so,
Yeah.
like, for me, it's always house, 'cause that's like the heartbeats, and which is why I wanted to call my first track Me Corazón Fun. So, sorry,
Oh
go ahead.
yeah.
Where was that? Where did that journey like help you with your style?
Well, exactly. Like how'd you get into house music, right? Like, what was it? It was you were I mean, we've talked about it a little
It was
bit.
a
You
I was
were
it was around me. I mean, it was, oh
Yeah.
well, you know what? Mom in the
Yeah.
80s playing house and disco from the 70s, so that
Yeah.
naturally went into like it was just all around me, and then being a club kid in the 90s as well. So
Yeah. And like, did you ever have a moment where you thought, maybe I should get in the house? Or did it just happen and it was because you just loved it?
okay, I was obsessed with DJs, all the DJs that were basically the hardcore house DJs from the 90s, like Richard Humpty Vision, Armin van Helden,
Yeah.
DJ Irene, Bad Boy Bill, Frankie Knuckles. Like, and I had this deck of three tapes, cassettes, and I would have a blank one and then two other ones for my favorite, and I would pretend I was DJ Drew and like mix the beats and try to merge them together just on a tape deck, not even like a real, you know what I mean?
That's so awesome.
But yeah, I've always loved just the house music, I guess the adrenaline of it and how it makes me feel alive, for sure.
Yeah. So it was the same thing on my end. It was it was just the music that I was passionate about. So when I started playing drums, I started playing drums like I guess it was kind of like drum music, like, you know, for instance, you know, Nirvana had Dave Grohl on drums, who's an incredible drummer.
Hell yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
Soundgarden, had an incredible drummer. Mm-hmm. So I was into that grunge music already and like that. And then around the same time, which was so cool about MTV at the time is it had like, they were so eclectic. Like it would play like a Nirvana, and all of a sudden like the next video would be, you know, Ain't Nothing But a G Thing by Dr. Dre. And so I'm like, that beat. So I started playing that beat. And what's that? Yeah. So that got me into hip hop. So all of a sudden I'm like into grunge and into hip hop. And I wasn't like, oh, okay, these are two diametrically opposed styles and I should, you know, maybe I should choose one. It was, you know, this all
what made you feel good. Exactly. Yeah.
And I got really, you know, I got heavily, heavily into jazz and in fact, you know, majored in the style in college. So it because it was through the drums. It was playing jazz was such a, you know, kind of cathartic experience on drums. And it was so inventive and, you know, just creative. So I got really into that. It helped me channel my energy. I had a lot of energy as a kid. I was really into, like, you know, I just was the kid that was always running around and acting and hyper. Yeah. Yeah. And so it channeled that into something artistic. So it was all that. And then, you know, through the years, it's just continued with you know, through, you know, DJing and production, especially through production, it's been, you know, just general pop music, you could say, acoustic music of all different styles. I mean, I can really find beauty in any kind of style of music at this point. Obviously I have my likes and my dislikes like everybody else, but I tend to look less at genre and more at just what the artist is saying and how it makes you feel, you know, and that's a very individual thing.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say it wasn't a decision like, I think I'll now get into this. It was the same as you and most other people. I just felt a passion for it.
Life experience is kind of what guided you to navigate where you were going to adapt your style, basically. I'm curious to know, when did the drummer turn into the producer?
Well, the journey really started, you know, like it, I mean, I guess about 12, 14 years ago, you know, 2009, 2010. But before that, as a drummer, you kind of have to have a production mindset because, you know, when you go to do a recording, for instance, you have to think about things like, okay, I'm going to play the snare on this beat. I'm going to have the hi-hat, then I'm going to move to the cymbal for the chorus of the song. And you think about building a part in that way. So it was, you know, already something that was, you know, in my mind. It had like I had kind of like a very, very, very basic understanding of what that meant. Obviously, the bug kind of bit me and I started writing more songs, and then that led into producing more songs and getting into the, you know, the giant universe of it. So it was about 14 years ago.
Very cool. So it sounds almost like you're a sous chef and you're just putting all these different ingredients of the recipe to make the main dish. And that's kind of like how production is, where you pick apart all the different instruments and part of the dynamics of each song and what's going to make them unique. Super cool. Yeah. And then I know that you went to CalArts and so did your wife, who we love, Angel McLendon. Oh, also, my like third cousin from the Vasquez family, because I'm Velasquez and she's originally Vasquez.
Yeah.
And then Johnny went to, who actually closed out season one, my husband, Johnny DeVue, closed out season one of my Florida's podcast. Did you guys go to school together at the same time or was it different times?
It was at the same time. We overlapped by a few years. Angel knew Johnny because they had a mutual friend, Travis, who I also knew. but I didn't. So we were at the same time. I didn't know Johnny that well, but we did overlap. Angel did.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, and then obviously we all reunited in Los Angeles and just became besties and had to collab with any possible way that we possibly could. I mean,
I know.
Angel and Johnny pursuing the fitness industry, and then I was always talking to you about music and to some degree, and I just knew that I didn't know that one day we were going to collaborate. So how was that experience a year ago when we collaborated to create my song Mi Corazón?
Oh man, yeah, we have to talk about this. I mean, it was incredible, First of all, I've done, I do a lot of work for clients, for corporate clients, like you mentioned, Beachbody, Equinox, in the fitness world. That's a lot of dance music and whatnot of varying styles. But it was so much fun to and it was an honor to do it with you, to
Oh.
take this vision and to do something that was personal and something that was part of your artistic vision. So, I mean, there's a lot to unpack from it, but I mean, how was it, how was the experience for you? How was making that track?
I'm so grateful. I was so It was honestly little 10-year-old Andrew pretending he was a DJ all over again. But it coming to fruition with an actual producer, and to just like hear, the words that I dedicated to my mom, who is the reason why I'm the person that I am, and for her to have witnessed it before she passed away, it's just the best gift I could have ever asked for. Like, I'm gonna get emotional thinking about it. Yeah. It's one of those bookmarks for sure. Like, I'm good if I don't want to die, obviously, but if like something were to happen, like I would feel accomplished because you were part of that, and I'm so forever grateful for that to continue that. Maybe we can do another one in the future, or like a remix or something. I don't know. Like, I see
Absolutely.
something there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot. We have a lot there too that we could do this, a remix. We could totally change the style up and make it, because the song is an amalgamation of all these different influences anyway. So we could totally do something that was just like straight up, that's more like house or tech house or deep house. We could do like the more could do like a Moombahton reggaeton remix,
All of it. I
whatever,
mean,
dude.
now that I'm like in the Southeast with more Caribbean influence, I definitely was very moved by Latino house, but also Afro house and spoken word, because I wish I was a singer. Are you a singer? Can you actually like keep a
I
tune?
mean, but I can't. I don't do it professionally, but I'll get my, I can convey ideas.
Yeah,
But
gotcha.
I'm not a singer by trade by any
Neither am
means.
I. I'd be singing all the time. Johnny is a singer though. He can definitely belt. Cool. Well, okay, this leads me into some really great questions about just how your craft has been throughout your journey. And maybe this is a more current question, but what practices or routines do you have in place to nurture your creativity and spirituality while running your business?
That's a great question because you're like when you say running your business as we move into adulthood and we need to run a business in order to live in society, that is a skill set. But I think the foundation of that still needs to be in your own, mindfulness, your own spiritual practice, whatever that means. Everyone's is different. So mine first starts with meditation. A short story is that I had really bad tendonitis in my wrist from playing 8 hours a day when I was 18.
Dang.
And it was diagnosed and it's like no cure. I got, had was lucky to be able to have like MRIs and all kinds of diagnostics done. And basically there's nothing they could do other than like a cortisone shot and surgery. And I didn't do surgery. I did do the shot and that didn't help. And my first semester of school, I was going to school in a suburb of New York, and I discovered meditation. A friend of mine who was a piano player had been practicing. So I just I didn't have a book or anything. I just started doing some mindfulness exercises, mainly just a breath awareness, and I started imagining like energy coming from the energy center, in my core, radiating to my hands. And what that ended up being actually is something called biofeedback. Have you heard of that before?
I have. The mind,
Yeah,
the human mind is a powerful thing.
so that helped with circulation control. And so that, and also just like, to get myself more centered, especially as an 18-year-old. So it started with meditation, and it's still there. I really try to do it every day. Even if it's just for 5 minutes, I really try not to skip on it, even when I have to get up really early when there's a lot going on, which is, for most of us often. And that so I'd say that's number one, just getting back to meditation. And then obviously working out is really helpful. I work I my biggest clients right now are in the fitness industry, so I do, I'm working with fitness, videos and music all the time. So it
It's all around
inspires
you. You
me.
can't escape it.
Yeah, I can't. You know what I mean? Like I would, I was working on Shanti's new program, and I'm like hearing his voice in my head when I'm not even on the screen. I should tell him that. But it was motivational. So, and you hear that motivation every day, and it inspires you to do something, even if it's just a little bit every day. I find that consistency is more important than necessarily quantity. I'd rather do 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day than do an hour on Friday, but then skip 5 days. So,
I love that. Also, I'm so grateful that we both have partners that are really passionate about fitness and share that
yeah.
commonality. So we can hold each other accountable. And I feel like it's a little easier for partners to have that in a household and just continue that maintenance, with each other. And Angel, she's a boss. Like her yoga classes, oof,
Oh, yeah.
like ne as strong as Johnny's spin classes are and his metabolic conditioning, Angel's class yoga classes, I mean, it's
Yeah.
like church. It really,
Oh, yeah.
I've really had some out-of-body experiences. It's next level. Like talk about meditation to a thousand, you know what I mean? Like it's really something
Yeah.
else.
Yeah, she's a master teacher, and now she's over at Pilates Anytime and Yoga Anytime, and is killing it over there. And it's just really inspiring to see those classes and to experience those classes. Those kind of group fitness classes, with Angel and John, Johnny's cycle class is still the last one we did in LA. Last recent one, I guess, what was that? Two, it was a few years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
Was it 2 years ago? Yeah. He that was one of my favorite classes of all time. So it still resonates with me, and it's like a great performance. It's like watching a great art, musical artist at work, or a
Yeah,
DJ.
100%, 100%. Well, it's because they both prepare and research how the music is going to resonate with the human body and where they're at that time with their breath work, with their heartbeat, how much it's elevated, so they're aware of what the human is experiencing through that journey. And I love
Yeah.
that they're both consistent about it, having like a beginning, a middle, and an ending. And it's like, ah, it's at the end you just feel so enlightened. And talk about being mindfulness.
Yeah.
Cool. I was going to ask if you can share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs like yourself looking to incorporate more creativity and spirituality into their work.
Into their work? Yeah, I mean, I think having your own project that's independent of clients, independent of anyone else's expectations is important. I've been guilty of not doing that, and then I realize I miss it. And so, right now I'm working on my own music concurrently with
Hell
everything that
yeah.
I'm doing for other clients. Yeah, you have to do it. I mean, I'm really lucky that I'm also involved in some projects with some people I'm collaborating with. And so there's a creative element there. But I'd say that first and foremost, just make sure you have something that is yours and that is independent of everything else. Like, making a living as an artist is a real gift. Depending on what that is, you might only be doing your own music. Like if you're, an artist and you're signed to a label, or you're a painter and putting your stuff up in galleries, or you might be working with clients and helping them realize their vision as producers do. It just really depends on what it, but I'd say always make sure you have something that you can put your wholehearted creativity into, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. And I agree 100% because, yeah, I'm a very sensitive guy. And so I constantly have to have a project of some sort to keep those creative juices flowing. You know, it's like muscle memory. It's going to help one project, it's going to help with the next project. And some of it, you know, might be just a learned experience to benefit, you know, a future situation that eventually will manifest into something larger. You never know. Very cool. Okay. And my last question for this segment is, how do you measure success in both your creative and entrepreneurial pursuits? And do they ever overlap in any way?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, success is like, okay, so our traditional version is obviously like, financial success. Like I have X amount of money, whatever that means. And I think that's a little bit part of it. I've been broke. I've done the starving artist thing,
We all have.
and there's, obviously there's like romance there, but there's also the brutal reality of like, sweating about your bills. And so I'd say that like success, even just getting past that point where you're like, okay, my bills are met, is success. Having the space and the freedom and the time to make art and to have, the ends met by whatever means that you think should be met, I think is success. I think my ultimate version of success is I envision a life that I want, and then I go for it by whatever, avenue that presents itself. And sometimes I know how I'm gonna get it. Sometimes I don't, but I'm open to it. So
I love
I always
that.
have a goal. I mean, it's one of those things where like I always have a goal and there's always something new on the horizon. But the where I'm at now was a dream of mine years ago. So by that measure, I can step back and say like that's success, and that's how I measure it.
Absolutely. Well
I'd
said.
say that from a creative, like purely creative way, it's does you know strictly I'm speaking strictly about music now. It does it sound like what I hear in my head, If I'm making a record, there's it's in my head, right? If I could just like
Do you
use
dream about it?
telekinesis. Rarely, I mean, it's not one of, I'm sometimes I've woken up with some dreams, I mean with some ideas from dreams, but not I haven't really dreamt about it. I haven't created too much from dreams, but it's just in my head, like in the way you can vision, I guess in the way it's a daydream, you're that I'll hear
It's a
the
vision.
total, exactly. It's, I'll hear the totality of it in my head. So I think that a lot of the skill sets of production are being able to take all of that and like make it a sound recording and actually succeed in presenting that. And so I think that would, for me, that's how I measure the success with my records and with music in general. Is it what I'm hearing?
I love
So
it.
yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, no, the idea originally, when we collaborated came from just to give a little behind the scenes for the people that wonder like how that even came
Yeah.
about. I published a book and created a makeup palette, and obviously through social media, you're having to create reels or trailers or little sizzles. And it kept, you know, asking to use either copyright or copy royalty free music or someone else's that was available. And I'm
Yeah.
thinking like, wait a minute, why don't I have a song? And I'm talking to you about it. And you're like, bro, let's just make a song. Like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And we got on Zoom and we used the GarageBand, and I had a different microphone, and literally took the book, read it, and then Aaron did his magic, and there it was. It took like a month or so, or something like that.
It didn't even take that something long. Like that. We had a couple iterations where we'd come up with some styles, and you sent me a copy of the book, and I was getting inspiration from that. But I think a watershed moment, which is one you've shared before through your socials, is that point where we were having a conversation like this, and I said, is there something from the book that, you know, that's meaningful that you want to really express specifically? And then you mentioned the foreword, and then you read it.
Yeah, I had it. That was never an idea. Like, that was not an intention. So that literally came us volleying off each other and you suggesting it. And that I'm so grateful for that, because it was like the best part of it to make it even more personal and have that like testimony of just full circle. You know what I'm saying? So really, really cool. And then now I'm like DJ Aaron McLendon with my microphone on, but creating my podcast and interviewing other creators. I'm so grateful. Like, this is so cool. It's been such a blessing and really fun experience. And for 2024, you guys, I have a new segment that I can't wait to introduce to you.
The library is open! Yeah! Because reading is what?
Fundamental!
There you have it, darling.
All right, you guys, so this segment is called The Library is Open, and this is a great opportunity for our guests to talk about their favorite book, and maybe it's audio version, maybe it's one that they read in the past or you're currently reading, and what are your top three reasons why you enjoy this book? So go for it.
Okay, well, the first, it's an audio book because I've been listening to it while I drive. So it's a book called The Big Leap by a guy named Gay Hendricks. And it's, I guess it would fall into the self-help category, and kind of like the, you know, the esoteric power of the mind and the subconscious and the, kind of how your subconscious affects your reality. It came out in 2010. So it's been around for, 14 years now. And it's been really inspirational to me. So the top three reasons, I didn't think I needed three. So here, I'll do my best. So number one is it gets you to think about your life in terms of like your potential. So you have your zone you have your zone of mediocrity, which are things you don't do well, your zone of excellence, which are things you do very well, and then your zone of genius, which is the things that are very unique to you and that are just really special to your life and something that you excel at. And so ultimately, and I don't know if zone of mediocrity is actually the first one, I might be totally wrong.
It's okay. Sounds like a good flow though.
Yeah. It's basically that level. And zone of genius is a place where as an artist, it's really useful because, you know, he applies it to like everything from, you know, personal life to business pursuits to art.
Very cool.
And he uses examples from different artists and over the years. So I think the first thing, so number one would be that it gets me personally to think about
what's potential.
Yeah. Where's my potential and what am I doing that's really like making me excited? And, and ultimately those are the things that as an artist, or where you can live your best life and where you can, you know, live the dream, you know, actually live your own dreams or doing the art and the activities that you feel are valuable to yourself and get you excited, you know, get you up in the morning. So it's one of those books that does that. Yeah. So, I mean, and then I'd say number two is it helps recognize places where you don't, you know, where you're putting your own roadblocks up, and it helps with that. And then number three, I'd say it just serves as a inspirational tool to hear other people's stories about how they overcome their own roadblocks and pushed on through to their fullest potential. Cause I think that's one of the things.
That,
yeah, it is. And I think it's one of the things that as an artist, we all, anyone who has an inclination towards art at all wants to live their fullest potential, you know, whether they know it or not. I don't feel like there's any artist who's like, I only want to paint, you know, half-assed paintings, you know, I only want to make half-assed songs. Like, you want to put yourself into it and do something that's meaningful. So that book's been really valuable in helping. This is the second time I've gone through it. So that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. So you've read it and heard it more than once. And tell us again, what's the name of it and the author?
It's called The Big Leap, and it's by Gay Hendricks.
Love it. Yeah. What I'm hearing, the takeaways are taking risks, stepping out of your comfort zone, challenging yourself to reflect and have that awareness of where you're at and where you see yourself in a few months and how you can evolve and grow into the artist you really want to become. I love that. Yeah, no, those are all things that we practice here in My Four Artists Podcast. So thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
My current book, which I always like to have like a three rotation, and I love the paper or the ones on the iPad just because it's easier. And so I would have to say it's Matt Kahn. That's the author, also a spiritual healer. And the title is called Everything Is Here to Help You. And it's a little avant-garde, it's a little out there. So if it's difficult for someone to think outside the normal cookie cutter box, this might sound a little too fantasy for you, but it's real. It's along the lines of like The Secret. I don't know if you remember that book. Rhonda, yeah. And so it's just changed my life. Like, I discovered it a long time ago, and I continue to go back to it. Highly recommend it. It's really good. Very cool. So yeah, that was my first time doing the Libraries Open. We're going to continue this journey on season two, 2024, and just share some insight and some really cool tools that are helping, you know, our viewers, our guests, and then see where that takes us. Cool. And then tell us what is next. Like, what is next for Aaron McClendon? I know you're going to pursue the YouTube and your own music. And we talked a little bit about this in the past when we were working on Mi Corazón. But what's next? What's next for Aaron McClendon?
I'm so 24. I'm working on my own music. I've got some singles in the can. I still haven't decided if I'm just going to start releasing singles or I'm going to have put them all together in an EP and release singles in anticipation of an EP. So I'm still working it out. But the important thing is I'm doing it. I had a great session with an artist, with an artist that I love. I had a session with him, and I'll reveal everything down the road. But it's going well, and I'm excited. So that's the first thing. And then, Thank you. And, you know, Mi Cor doing that record together last year, that was a big inspiration and I told you this, I said, I need to make more of my own records, you know, because that was such a special experience and collaboration. And so thank it lit you. A fire under me as well. But thank you. It helped with that process. And then
I say we're mirrors. It's just we're reflecting the light to one another to continue to inspire and help others. And just imagine if everybody did a little bit of that, like how beautiful would this world be, you know?
It'd be amazing, man. Yeah, I completely agree. And then the other thing is I'm working on a project I'm collaborating with two friends down in Los Angeles with about the, that's a whole YouTube branding collaboration thing. I can't talk about it yet because nothing's really been set in stone.
It's okay. It's you a can large give us some project. Teasers. Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. It's huge. It's something I've never done before. Dang. And that's all I'm gonna say.
All right.
But we're gonna launch it in 24. So that's it.
So dope. Congratulations. I cannot wait.
Thank you.
Well earned, well deserved, all the things. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, you guys. Taking what brings you joy, your passion, what feeds your soul, making it your career does not happen overnight, but you continue to persevere, you continue to trust the process and ask for mentorship, come back and listen to useful tools like Mindful Artist Podcast, and you'll figure it out. It'll come down the road. You just have to know that each opportunity is going to get you to the next level if you trust it. So those hard times that you're struggling, that you're eating cup of noodles and you're a struggling artist, it's okay. It's going to be worth it. One day you're going to come back and you're going to serve a full, you know, full 4-course meal for your guests. So it's just having the patience for that and trusting the process. This is your time. 2024 is for you. You've helped so many others like myself. This is going to happen. So just go for it. Balls out.
Balls out indeed. And you know, thank you, man. And you know, it's so inspiring chatting with you as well. I mean, you know, you've inspired me, my friend. Is when we first met, you were doing that photo shoot for Angel, for my wife. And I just saw how you were, you know, just engrossed in your craft and your, you know, when you were doing makeup and hair for her and just and just how in it you were and, you know, how you brought her vision and the photographs that she was doing to life and directing her that day. And it was inspiring for me. So thank you.
Wow. I've never heard that. That's really cool. Thank you so much. It's a passion. It's a way of bringing someone's, you know, vision and evoking that through the power that I have with my hands. And you do that with your clients and your musicians. So I'm so grateful. This is like full circle for all of us. So we can just continue to celebrate each other's successes and uplift each other. And you guys, if you can do that for one another, this is how we make a difference in the world. So thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome. This leads me into wrapping up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. So I have three questions wherever you're at intuitively. Don't think about it too hard. You just hear the question and answer. So question number one, Aaron McClendon, who is your hero and why?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I have a lot of heroes. So the one that just comes to mind from an artistic level, because his personal life was all over the place, but artistically, Miles Davis, because he was not afraid to take risk. He was not afraid to take huge leaps, in fact, and completely change his style around. He did this like repeatedly over his career. Even as he got into middle age, he was still pushing the boundaries. He was the Picasso of music for sure. So
absolutely,
artistically, he's a hero.
He's changed the industry for sure. And you can say a personal hero too if you like. I'm okay with that.
Oh man, personal hero.
If you want to, you don't have to.
There's so many. I'm on the spot.
I understand.
I'd say my parents are personal heroes of mine because they've raised me with love and they, you know,
supported your craft.
Always supported. You know, I have so many friends that were not supported by their families, or just maybe their families were indifferent, and that's fine too. It's like I'm really grateful that they were supportive of me and encouraged it all the way, including today.
What are their names?
Pam and Phil.
Shout out to Pam and Phil.
Such a great
gentleman. Great artiste. Cool. All right. This one might be a little hard, but I mean, we'll see. Question number two for wrapping up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. What is your favorite music album of all time? I know. You're a musician.
Oh my God, man. That's impossible. But because there's like a
picture this. You're on a deserted island. There's nobody else there. And you have one Discman and one CD to repeat for the rest of your life. What is that album?
Oh man, this even still, it just depends on the day, you know, because your musical, I'll name something, but I just want to say,
because you're a musician, you know, I'll give you top three albums. How about that?
Oh my God, even that is just all right. Well, I gotta go with Desert Island albums. I've always been a huge Beatles fan. I love what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Even choosing one of their albums, but I'd say like I think Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was an amount like a apex of their own songwriting and production inventiveness and everything like that. So I'd say they're way ahead of their time, and they invented all of these studio techniques. Things like sampling came from them that never mm-hmm. existed before. Studio recording techniques. That was one of them. I'd say John Coltrane's A Love Supreme, which is a influential jazz album.
Very
is
cool.
Definitely one of my favorites. After that, man, I love Radiohead's Kid A.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah, the whole thing.
That one just resonated with me, like, you know, when it came out, and also still. So, but you know, there's so many, man. There's like Wu-Tang's first album. There's Dr. Dre's The Chronic. There's like, I mean, it's like, I don't even know where there's. I was listening to Nevermind the other day, like on vinyl. Like, I mean, dude,
so
it's,
good. Yeah,
that's a tough question.
I need to get into vinyl this year. Yeah.
Do it, man. I mean, it's fun because you know you get the tangible,
the nostalgia, tactile.
Yeah, like there's something tactile about, like, you pull this record out of a mm-hmm. out of a thing the size of a small poster, and you're like putting it on. You know, you get your system together. You can have like that whole experience where you have to listen to an album. You can't, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of like how I'm thinking of Mindful Artist Podcast. Like, season one was 12 episodes, 12 tracks, and now let's see where season two takes us. And that's how I was introduced to music as well. I mean, on the original vinyl record with my mom in Pasadena, walking on the street with her little 4-year-old Andrew, picking out, you know, Donna Summer, Madonna, Eurythmics, and the 80s was just it. Good choices. You're special. That's why I let you pick three albums.
Thank you. Yeah, that was not rapid fire at all.
But I mean, I gotta help a brother out because you're a musician, so it's all good. All right, final question for wrapping up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues, and question number three is, what is your favorite quote of all time?
Oh my god, man, I should have had something prepared. Man, I can't think of something right off the top of my head, but I'll say there's a couple quotes from the Hagakure, the samurai manual, that are really amazing. But I would have to get it out and like read it because I don't have it memorized. So I'll say one that actually has been on the top of my mind, and this might be even corny, but I don't care. I'll just do it anyway. It's from that movie from, I guess, the late 80s, early 90s, called Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. And he has a simple quote in there: if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And it just means follow your dreams. Mm-hmm. It just means, you know, there's a context from the movie, but what that quote means, if you build it, they will come. It means like you do make your art and don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah.
Just trust the process.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. It's not corny at all. I think it's actually originally Noah's Ark when he created the Ark. That's what he said. This is like iconic. So, I mean, yeah, I know that. I'm sure will resonate with a lot of people. And it's true. If you build it, if you don't take the risks, if you, you know, don't mess up, like, you have to have mistakes. You have to have these opportunities to learn, to discover your true potential. So, yeah, trusting the process is the way to do it, and just having patience. Thank you so much, Aaron McClendon. You're the man. This was so cool. Where can we find you and support your art and do all the things?
Right now, my main avenue, you can go to my website, mcclendonmusic.com, to find out more about me and what I'm doing. And also my Instagram handle, Aaron McClendon Music, @ Aaron McClendon Music, is where you can find me as well. And that's where I'll be posting new creations and new collaborations that are coming up in 2024.
All the things that you tease us about. So we get a little sneak peek of it. You get to know about it, but you can't actually hear it yet. You're going to have to come back, and I'll put everything in the description. You guys, my kings and queens and all between, this has been another episode of your one-stop shop, all things mindfulness, creativity, and being an entrepreneur. Make sure that you give us the stars and reviews. Share this with somebody that you love, that you know it will resonate with. And until the next time, thank you so much, Aaron. Everybody out there, make an impact in somebody's life. Much love and light to you all. I'll see you at the next episode. Take care, everybody. Fire.
Bye.